From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The massive online retail giant Amazon has announced July 15th and 16th as a, quote, two-day parade of epic deals. Founder Jeff Bezos wants consumers around the world to revel in the deep discounts that his company is offering on all sorts of products. But on Sunday, Amazon workers at a number of facilities in Germany began a strike called No More Discount on Our Incomes. Here in the US, there are sporadic protests and one-day strikes as well. One worker in Shakopee, Minnesota, where about 100 Amazon staffers are striking, told CNN, "We're humans, not robots. They're treating us like machines." There are growing calls among consumers and advocacy organizations as well for Amazon to slow its breathtaking pace of expansion and begin compensating its workers fairly. Some have even called for a boycott, calling Amazon Prime members to pledge to cancel their membership and to promise to stop shopping at Whole Foods, which Amazon owns. Joining me to discuss this is Valerie Vandepan. She's a writing fellow and chief correspondent at Local Peace Economy, a project of the Independent Media Institute. She's an independent journalist whose work has appeared in the Boston Globe, Sunday Magazine, Columbia Journalism Review, The Guardian, Politico, and more. And her latest piece is entitled, "It's Prime Time to Boycott Amazon." Welcome, Valerie.
Thank you for having me on.
So first, let's talk about the strikes that are taking place around Amazon before we get to the calls for boycott. I mentioned Germany. There's a few strikes happening here in the U.S. Amazon, of course, is a global company with a global reach, and its workers have spoken out before, have threatened a strike and even gone on strike, at least in Europe before. How important, or as far as you can tell, how widespread and serious are the strikes this time around? Very much timed to coincide with Prime Day or days.
You know, I think whenever workers mobilize, it's exciting and it's an important step towards gaining worker rights. I think in relationship to last year, it does seem to be growing. I don't have any final numbers yet, obviously, but it's exciting to see so many more places get involved and take action.
Is Germany a particular flashpoint as far as you know? How does it compare to the U.S.? Are European workers more likely to be striking on Prime Day?
I don't know that Germany is all that different from the U.S. when it comes to workers' strike. I don't know enough about what's happening right now in Germany to adequately make that comparison. But again, I think workers everywhere need to unite. And that was the idea of May Day. And I think the more we become a globalized society, the more these kinds of international strikes are important and can make a stronger impact.
What are the main demands, as far as you can tell, of workers? We know that Amazon is promising its customers more and more for less and less, right? Prices are dropping. That's what the whole Prime Day sale thing is. It slashes prices and the delivery times are getting shorter and shorter. They're now promising one-day delivery on many items. On some items, it's even same-day delivery. Is that just squeezing workers from both ends?
Well, I think the worker you quoted earlier who was saying he's a human, not a machine, I think that was an important point to make. Workers have every right to be treated with compassion and like they are human. And humans cannot be expected to, for example, not take bathroom breaks, not need medical attention. And I think those two points alone and Amazon's record on those two points alone in their warehouse space are disturbing enough to not only merit a strike, but merit action on Amazon's part. And hopefully Amazon will take action to actually treat their workers like humans rather than replace the humans with robots, which unfortunately seems to be the direction Amazon wants to go in.
And didn't Amazon, though, this past year or over this past year announce that it would be increasing wages to $15 an hour? You know, that rallying cry for 15 an hour has been such an important cry among workers in the service industry and the fast food industry. And if you sort of look at it on paper, Amazon seems like it's moving forward.
Well, I think, you know, with situations like this, they need to be looked at holistically. There is more to life than being paid $15 an hour. $15 an hour is important, but is it worth missing bathroom breaks? Hmm. Is it worth having every step you take monitored by the company? Is it worth being docked or risk losing your job if you don't fulfill a certain quota or thing that Amazon wants you to fulfill in a timely fashion, especially when if you're pregnant or if you already have an injury or if there's something else happening that might require you to take a 10-minute break. I think there's just too much of a reputation, and this is documented, well documented in media, that workers are really suffering and they're being treated in ways that just, in a civilized society, we should not be treating the people who are doing us the service of packaging products and getting them to us. People love that about Amazon. They should treat the people serving them better.
So let's talk about this idea for a boycott. I mean, it's one thing to say, let's, you know, boycott a company that we disagree with. It's another thing to go through with it on something that people have now sort of become dependent on, right? I mean, Amazon has tens of millions, if not, I believe, 100 million Prime subscribers, Prime members. It's an unimaginably high number of Americans are now members of Amazon Prime. So they pay this yearly fee to get all of these things like access to their videos and entertainment content, but also that, you know, free shipping and all of that. And so to call on people who have become dependent on Amazon to launch a boycott is a hard thing, even if those people are in solidarity with workers. What have you, tell me about the piece that you wrote around the very unique call for a boycott on Amazon.
So I think the issue of boycotting Amazon or Whole Foods or any one of the hundreds, if not thousands, of companies Amazon owns is that they're not just hurting workers. They provide ICE and Department of Homeland Security with infrastructure support that agency needs to not only survive, but thrive and flourish as a government agency. And
right, this is the facial recognition technology that it has outsourced to the government, or is this something else?
I believe there is more to it than just facial recognition software. David Dayan has covered this issue in These Times magazine. But any amount of support that a corporation gives to ICE, I think we really need to examine as a society and as human beings if we want to be a part of that corporation. We're talking about inhumane conditions in private facilities all along our U.S. border and also public facilities, not only on the border, but across the United States. And people are suffering. And the comparison has been made to concentration camps. And I think whether or not you agree that they're like concentration camps, I think just that there is space to make that comparison and that there's enough evidence that these conditions are that terrible, we as a society need to take pause and ask ourselves, is this something we want to be a part of? And on top of that, even if you support Trump's immigration policy, I think we need to again pause and say, is this really the most effective way to deal with immigration? And is this the most compassionate way? Is this the most Christian way? Is this the best we can really do as a nation and as a people? Right. And if the answer is no, then we need to take action. And unfortunately, we've come into a society where people are very comfortable in their space. They're very comfortable ranting on social media, and they're very comfortable with not leaving their homes, which is why Prime is so exciting, right? You one click and anything you want is delivered right to your door. So for those people who are, you know, not in agreement with what this company is doing and supporting, then taking the action of not supporting them with your dollars, I think, is a really powerful action to take. If you think of every dollar as a vote, or every dollar that you spend on a company that is doing harmful things, is a dollar that says, yes, this is right, and yes, I support it, I think it changes your perception. I think also that there's a feeling in the United States now where I can't do anything, I'm alone, you know, what's my only boycott going to do? And that's a very real feeling that people have, especially when they're already, you know, so intertwined with Amazon. So the story that I did was about an organization called Threshold, which enables people to pledge to divest and to stop using Amazon Prime or Whole Foods or other Amazon products, but not doing it right now. And then when they pledge, and enough people have pledged, they'll be notified it's time to divest together. And that idea of taking action together, I think, resonates with people, especially knowing that they can do it from their home in a moment when tens of thousands of other households are doing the same thing, with the goal of getting Amazon to pay attention to what consumers really want. I think that does resonate with people. And as the founder of Threshold says in the article, he's, you know, just by thinking, okay, if I'm going to divest, how am I going to replace Amazon in my life? And he started looking, how can I replace Amazon in my life? And just that simple action enabled him to cut back his Amazon spending dramatically. He said he was ordering from Amazon multiple times a week. Now he's not doing that, and he feels better about himself. He feels like his spending habits are more in alignment with who he is as a person and what he wants to support. And I think that's a nice exercise in and of itself. I think we are a society right now that feels badly about itself in a lot of ways. And every action that people can take to get into alignment with what makes them feel good, I think that's a good thing and a good step in the right direction. So even if you don't live near an ICE facility, even if you're not going to go out there and protest every day, I think speaking with your dollars and where you spend them can be quite loud and quite powerful, especially when done in harmony with others.
So this idea to make a pledge to cancel your Prime membership rather than canceling it now, is this a way to give people sort of courage? Because if you start canceling your Prime membership, you could be one of a very small number of people, not big enough group to actually make a difference and get Amazon's attention. But is a group that's quite large pledging to cancel its membership able to get Amazon's attention in a way that's quite real? Is it a sort of a promise of a threat against Amazon, to threaten Amazon of mass collective action?
I don't know that Amazon responds to threats. And I don't know that anybody could make a viable threat against Amazon alone, or, you know, as a keyboard warrior, right? But I do think that if tens of thousands of Americans cancel their Prime account on the same day, there's going to be an algorithm or some data thing that tells Amazon, oh, something just happened. What happened and why is this happening? And I think impacting Amazon through a data metric like that, with a massive cancellation or a massive single day drop off of Prime, would make the corporation take notice, if only because you're really hitting them in a space where they expect to continue to dominate. Of course, I could be wrong. Amazon might not care because they're so fully intertwined in so many of the everyday components of so many Americans' lives. But I think anything, any action Americans can do, again, to take collective action to get in harmony with their higher values and with their moral compass. That's an exciting thing. And whether or not it impacts Amazon, it should certainly impact how people feel about themselves and how their communities feel.
And of course, all of this may make us question, like you were saying, the person who you interviewed about the call to pledge, make you sort of rethink your buying habits. We live in an increasingly consumerist society, right? The economy, the health of the economy is measured by how much stuff people buy. There are, you know, growing numbers of groups of people that are curbing their consumerism, you know, trying to revive this idea of a sharing economy, and also finding that waiting a few extra days to get your package in the mail is not as big a deal, and that there are other options to Amazon that do online selling. You know, for those among us who are so busy, maybe your parents, your kids need new shoes, you don't have time to go to the store, there are other options to Amazon that might require you waiting a few extra days to get your box in the mail.
Yes, and I think that what we've lost as a society by using Amazon and by thinking we're just too busy to stop at the grocery store, we're too busy to stop and pick up something from the local small business, I think that it's costing us as a society, it's costing our collective consciousness, it's costing us much more than the impact on our pocketbooks from getting something cheaper at Amazon. It's costing us interpersonal relationships. Mm. It's costing us a feeling of support and connectivity to our communities. It's costing us valuable safety nets within our communities for times when we really need support. And I think that the value of knowing the cashier at your local grocery store has been lost, because there is something to that, to knowing the person and to knowing the shop owner or to knowing the clerk where you go. That's a relationship. That's somebody who you actually care about and someone who cares about you. You might not have a deep relationship with them, but it's enough of a relationship to when you see them, they ask you how you're doing. And that small action makes us feel good. It makes us feel good about ourselves. It makes us feel good about our communities. And that resonates in our lives in a positive way. It can even help alleviate depression. And when we get rid of that and we just sit at home and click buy now, and then people wonder why they're depressed. They wonder why they feel lonely. They wonder why they feel isolated. And part of it is that kind of buy now, click now mentality.
There's also this sense that we are more and more cut off from the people who do the work to get us the things that we need, right? When you are at the grocery store, okay, you may not be meeting, you know, the farmer who's picked your carrots, but at least you come into contact with some of the workers in the chain between the product and you. Whereas with Amazon, maybe you might see your delivery guy or woman, but it's so cut off, and that that act of being cut off also allows a distance from what Amazon workers go through, right? I mean, the increasing automation and the speed at which they have to work and the far too modest pay allows us to have an out of sight, out of mind mentality when it comes to what the workers are going through.
Absolutely. And ultimately, at its core, it's dehumanizing, because humans need connection. Humans crave that connection. And what's happened to our society is that we have been reduced to being consumers first. And I mean, the Flint Journal back in the 1920s wrote that with the new world that was coming, the first responsibility of an American citizen is to be a consumer. And we see that echoing increasingly over the last 100 years. And at some point, I think as a society, we need to stop and say, is being a consumer really my responsibility? Is that my first responsibility? Is that the most important responsibility I have to my country? And if the answer is no, then, you know, what is your responsibility to your country and to your community and as a citizen of the United States? And I would venture to say it's probably not buying from Amazon. And there are probably actions you can take in your community that would be really healthy for yourself, your family, and those around you.
Give out information where people can find out more about the boycott, as well as maybe read your writings.
You can learn more at cancelprime.com. And my website is valerievandepanne.com, valerievandepanne.
And that's cancelprime.com and valerievandepanne.com. We'll post links to both of those websites from our website. Valerie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
My guest has been Valerie Vandepanne. She is a writing fellow and chief correspondent at Local PC Economy, which is a project of the Independent Media Institute. She's also an independent journalist, and her work has appeared in the Boston Globe, Sunday Magazine, Columbia Journalism Review, The Guardian, Politico, and many other publications. Her latest piece, which we've been discussing, is called It's Prime Time to Boycott Amazon. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.